Hi, it is April 14th, 2023, and we are in the Princeton Public Library to hear an oral history for Voices of Princeton as part of a partner project with the Jewish Community Foundation of Greater Mercer. My name is Kim Dorman, and I am here to facilitate an interview with Mara Olmsted, interviewing Irv Erkin.
Hi, I'm Mara Olmsted. I'm the interviewer.
And I'm Irv Erkin. I'm the interviewee.
All right. So let's get rolling. What are your roots in Princeton?
I was born here, so I bleed orange and black. My wife gives me that comment all the thing. Anyway, and my family had a retail hardware store here in Princeton, across the street from the Alchemist and Barrister. It's now a bubble tea place, and my father was raised in Trenton, and he moved here to Princeton. I don't really know why, but he came to Princeton with my mother, and they opened up the store in 1937, and I closed it in 2002. So it had a 65-year run, and I closed it because four Home Depots and two Lowe's opened up, and it wasn't doing too well. So it came time to do something else. But the store was a fascinating place. I really didn't have plans to go into it necessarily. I graduated from college. I was accepted at grad school. And my mother needed help in the store. So I said, okay. So I came in thinking it would be for a while. And a friend of mine, a very wise man, said, if you stay more than 6 months, you'll stay forever. Which he was right. So I did. And the store had a lot of interesting things about it. I mean, the clientele, first of all, let's put it this way, like Einstein had a charge account. He was friends with my mother. I'll digress for 1 second about this really funny story that she never told me, but I had heard that the electricity had gone out at 112 Mercer on the first floor, and they were supposed to fix it, and nobody ever came by. So he called my mother to get a recommendation for an electrician. He was just going to get it fixed, get a bill, get reimbursed. At least want to get some light on the first floor. So she gave him the name of this guy named Reuben Johnson. And Reuben Johnson shows up with his little bag of tricks, and he's let in. He goes down the basement. He opens up the box, and there's a blown circuit breaker. Not trip, blown. So he shuts off the power, he unscrews the terminals, pops out the bad one, pops in a new one, wraps the terminals around the screws, tightens it up, turns electricity back on. It took literally 5 minutes, if that much. He walks upstairs, and Einstein, his daughter, and his secretary, Mrs. Dukas, are sitting in the living room waiting, and he goes, okay, Dr. Einstein, all fixed, and he flips the switch, and for the first time in 3 days, the lights go on. He's thrilled, thrilled. He looks at him and says, Mr. Johnson, you're a genius! And it was like, whoa. The ultimate compliment, really. So, but I mean, it was entree to Nobel laureates, governors. Morven was the home of the governors when this was all happening, and for the most part. And they were all customers. They all shopped in. I can remember having Thanksgiving dinner with the Hugheses. That was a big family. Because there was his family, her family, and their family. So it was like 7 or 8 kids. And then all the sisters and brothers. And
was that at Morven?
At Morven, yeah. And I've gone into Morven since and taken the tours. And the ladies are saying, you know, I can show you this. And I said, ma'am, I've spent the night here. Because I was friends with their sons, you know. And we slept over. We had a good time. So I met a lot of amazing people working in the store.
And how has downtown changed in your time in Princeton?
Oh, drastically. There was a lot of locally owned, what you'd call mom-pop shops, that the owners were here. And I have the same mindset now when I go to buy things for myself, that I could go to an Amazon or I could go to a Home Desperate or one of those places. The money stays with the local businesses when you shop it in town. It's like not a vicious circle, but it comes back. And all the family businesses, whether they were clothing stores or hardware stores or shoe stores, or I'm running my list, or gift shops, or whatever, they're pretty much all gone. The people are still around, and every once in a while you'll see something on Facebook where there's a reunion, like instances, the original owners are leaving and they've sold it to somebody else. The store will still be there, but you know, you're losing that thing where the difference between a local place versus a big franchise stores, you know, you walk in and somebody asks, can they help you? And you have to, you go into Home Depot and you have to find somebody help, you know, that type of thing.
Were you ever involved with the Chamber of Commerce here or other government?
I was an elected official. I was elected to 2 terms on the Princeton Borough Council. Mm. I was council president. And when I had my first date with my wife, she had 3 questions for me. She said, are you Jewish? And I said, Irvin Erkin. I said, really? I'm Irish Episcopalian. Yeah, I'm Jewish, yeah. And then she said, have you ever killed anybody? I went, no. Wanted to a couple times, but never did. She said, have you ever been in jail? And I went, yeah. And she said, don't kid me. And I said, I'm not kidding you. I've been in jail. She said, what'd you do? And I said, nothing. And she said, give me a break. You're playing games with me. What did you go into jail for? And I said, well, I was on the town council and I was the police commissioner when I was on the council, and I did go into the jail. I didn't stay there. I just went in. But so she did that. And actually, I really enjoyed being the police commissioner. That was a great job. I hired about 1/3 of the force. I hired the first woman policeman officer, not a policeman, police officer in Princeton.
When was this about?
In the mid-'80s.
Mid-'80s,
yeah. We went through and we hired, I'm losing the word now, but instead of having officers behind the desk, we got paid people to sit there and take the phone calls. And so we put 2 more people out on the street doing what they should be doing instead of doing that. I also put the first computer system in the police. It was expensive. It was $400,000. I don't know what it did or didn't do. I still don't know what computers do. I don't understand the whole thing. It's above my pay grade. But the police chief at the time was a man named Mike Carnevale, and we were good friends. And he called me, and he had done all the research. He said he took all the stuff out. This wasn't like going to buy an Apple or. You know, and I think today this was like before computers were ubiquitous mm-hmm. kind of thing. So he said, this is what I want to get. And this is going to cost $400,000. And we can't go to the rest of your council and say, we want $400,000 more from the budget. It's not going to fly. But we have a lot of very wealthy people here in Princeton. So mm-hmm. we're going to write a letter. I've identified 20 people. And you can look at this list and add more if you want. And we're going to write letters to these people, specifically asking them for money, and maybe between them we can make a good dent in it. So we sent out, we wrote the letter. He wrote it. I corrected it. He corrected my correction. I corrected his correction to my correction. We went back. We said, this is good. And we sent it out. And 2 weeks later, he calls me. He says, come up, please. So I went up to Burr Hall. It was really nice being police commissioner. They have a cop car come pick me up. It was really great. My hands behind your back. No. So I went up, and he shows me this letter. It's a piece of paper, and I'm reading it. And it says, Dear Irv, she says, I consider myself a Princetonian. Even though I live in Princeton Township, I'm a Princetonian. And I know you are on the borough council. But God has blessed me with wealth, and I'm able to help organizations that I truly believe in. So I read your letter, and I'm very interested, and I want to help you out. So please find a check for $800,000 and give half of it to Princeton Township so they can do the same thing as you're doing in the borough. And I went, whoa. And it was Betty Wall Johnson. And she's actually, I've asked her for other things in the past, and she's been very generous. She's a generous lady, and she was a wonderful lady, too. She died about 1.5 years ago. And she was Mrs. Robert Wood Johnson, and Johnson & Johnson, and all those things. So, so I enjoyed that. I was on council when Mount Laurel came into fruition, if you know what that is, with low moderate income housing. And I had customers who closed their accounts because of the way I voted. That's how it happens, you know. Yeah. I did what I believed in. And but Barbara was a wonderful person to work with. She, I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet her or anything. She actually came to lunch at my house before the world changed for her. And we're sitting like you and me this close, and I'm looking at her. And the brown part of her eye had like a chew out of it. The white had gone into it. It was like a pie piece was cut out, and the color went away, and it was white. And I said, "That's very strange." And she said, "Yeah, I've noticed it, but it works. You know, I see everything fine." So I said, "When was the last time you went to an eye doctor?" She said, "It's been a while." So she was at my house. I got on the phone. I handed it to her, and I said, "This is Dr. Fred Lashfer. He's my eye doctor. Make an appointment." She made an appointment. She made an appointment on Friday. On Saturday, she was in Wills High Hospital having the eye removed because it was cancer underneath.
Wow.
And I gave her another 7 years. You know, maybe somebody else might have noticed or whatever. But her saying was, it was the first time a man looked deep into my eyes other than my husband and said, something's wrong. So I actually just took a trip down to New Orleans. I'd never been there. The Boggs family is very respected down there. Her mother was Lindy Boggs, and her father was Hale Boggs, congressman and congresswoman from New Orleans. They love them down there. I said, I knew them. They was like, "Oh, here, sit down." You know.
And for the Boggs family in Princeton.
That was Barbara was their daughter, and her sister was Cokie Roberts. She was a newscaster, and she has a brother, Hale Boggs Jr., too. But Cokie's died, Barbara's died, Paul died. They're all... Yeah, you got to catch your blessings while you're there. So anyway, I was on the borough council, and I really enjoyed that. I was actually the highest vote getter ever in Princeton borough history. But now that record can't hold because now there's one Princeton,
right?
And the whole voting dynamic has changed. But
Where were you when the Princetons merged? What was you, were you any official at that time?
No,
or you
no.
Were,
actually, what happened was I lived on Pine Street, and we had one child who's now 38, and I had a second child who was now 36, and when the second one came along, the house was too small. Mm. So we started looking, and we were looking and looking and looking and looking, and we finally found a place in Princeton Township, and you have to live where you're elected, so I had to resign when I moved. I stayed on until like the week before I moved, but... So I was here, I just wasn't in the right zip code. I was in the right zip code. I wasn't in the right property
section
line.
Of it.
Yeah.
So you've done so much, and clearly being Jewish did not hold you back. Any feeling, did it help, hurt, any impact at all, or you're just a person and that was that?
I was just a person. I really didn't see a whole lot of discrimination. I remember somebody called me a kike once, a kid in school. But I didn't really see where there was prejudice that I didn't get an appointment or get whatever it was where I've had that happen. I've talked to people who've had it happen, but I never really had that. My wife's from Brooklyn. She grew up around Trump country there. She's telling me it was very different there. You know, there's a lot of Jewish people there, but there was still, like, there was the other side of the street, too. It's like she has a brother-in-law who was very Orthodox Jewish, and for some reason he found Jesus, and they completely switched, and now they're practicing Catholics? Anyway, he said people don't know he's Jewish because he's got red hair and you can't tell from the name. And he said, you should see, when people are in private and they're not out there, there's a lot of really bad, can I say any shit, that goes down. That people don't, it isn't on the street. It isn't like, you know, the thing 2 years ago with the protests that the Jews will not replace us. You know, that stuff didn't happen here.
here in Princeton.
At least not that I was aware of. But I remember hearing stories where, you know, it was hard to buy houses for, at certain times for Jewish people. They weren't, they, it wasn't redlined or anything like that, but there was definitely some stuff going on there.
And you were here at the founding of the Jewish Center? Were you one of the initial members?
My parents were founders. My mother, there's a little plaque inside, their names are on it.
Can you give their names?
Paul Erkin and Eunice Erkin.
What year was that?
That was 1953, I think, or 54, something like that. Because we built a house right across the street from it, on Nassau Street, on an acre, brick. Three bedrooms, split level, two fireplaces, three bathrooms, patio, the whole thing, paneled dining room. For $24,000. It's a lot of money back then, I guess.
I know.
I think it sold for $1 million later, but anyway.
And so you were very close to the Jewish Center. Were a lot of your friends from the Jewish Center, or you were just...
No, there weren't. In my in school, there was maybe three Jewish kids in my grade. I was in the borough schools. We didn't have a joint school system back then. There was a borough system and a township system.
What were the
schools? So I went to Nassau Street School next to Tom Sweets.
Okay.
And then I went to the John Witherspoon School on Quarry, then Princeton High School for 1 year, and then I went to Hunt for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Middlebury College in Vermont.
Okay. And then came back for the family business.
Back, yeah.
Never left. Yeah. Okay. The... Do you have a favorite, since you've been here so long, Princeton memory or tradition that you like?
I love reunions. I loved reunions. I liked, we would go around, they had great music. Like I said, I just went to New Orleans. I mean, they have Zydeco kind of music in all the places. And the classes would come back. I don't know if they're doing it now because I really haven't gone in a while. But they would have, like, you know, Jimmy Stewart and all these big deal people who had gone to Princeton to come back. The last time I stayed for an entire reunion parade was my son was in the class of 2008. And I never really knew how it worked. What it is the old guard. The first class is the 25th or the 50th. One of them is the, and I just had my 50th at Middlebury. That was fun. Wow. They have the old guard after the head class, which is either the 25th or the 50th, and then they go. It's history in reverse, so it's the class of 1932, 33, 34, 35, 36, year by year, and then some years are very lean because it's not a year that ends divisible by five, which the other ones are 25 if you're really big, but. They always have somebody who's like, you know, 103, and he's in a wheelchair, and they dress up in great costumes, and it was fun. I always enjoyed that. I thought that was a lot of fun, and I've talked to other people. I don't think there's any other college that does that like that. Same with reunions and alumni coming back.
Yeah, and the whole town shuts down for it, basically.
I mean, my daughter went to Harvard, and they sort of do kind of some stuff. But not on the same scale.
Mm. Anything about Princeton that's frustrated you over the years?
Wow. Good question. Not that I can think of, but maybe come back to that before we leave and maybe it'll. Maybe it'll regurgitate in my mind here.
All right, I can do that. Well, maybe this would trigger it. If you were describing Princeton to someone who doesn't live here, how would you describe it?
I would say it's a great place. Geographically, you're an hour from New York, you're an hour from Philly, you're an hour from the shore. It doesn't get better than that. You have all kinds of great places in the area, in town and in the area to eat. A lot of those have changed. I mean, Harris isn't there anymore. You have Agricola, or Agricola, however you want to pronounce it. different things have come up. I was amazed the other day. I came in, my nephew and niece came into Princeton. They grew up here. And my sister died 2 years ago, and they came in for an unveiling of her grave. And they said they wanted to come back to Princeton because they live in California and in Minnesota. So I took them in, and we were walking along Nassau Street. And I had never been in this, where Panera was. Have you been in there?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. It's an Asian market. It's like you walk in, it's got boxed goods on shelves, you know, that are all Japanese or Korean or Chinese. And then they have like a frozen, like a not a freezer, but one of the slide up the things, and they have all the sushis and the fishes and the meats and the Kobe beef and all the other. And I was like, whoa. And it was busy. I mean, people were waiting to check out. But I walked along that whole stretch, and except for PJ's, it was all Asian restaurants, the whole stretch from Tulane Street down to the Garden Theater. You know, so the town has had a metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it interesting. You know, I like Chinese food. It's really
good.
Who
doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but in telling somebody, and I say, and you have the benefits of the university. I said, if you, at least when we were in school, if you were above a certain level, they let you take classes at Princeton. Actually, there's one, there's a class, the guy's name is skipping me, he's in the back of my head. They teach a class about me at Princeton University. I'm a big deal. and the guy is, oh man, that'll come to me.
Mathematician?
No, he's like in the history department. He's one of, he's like an anomaly because he's, most of the people are very liberal on the faculty. He's a conservative. He was in Bush's cabinet.
Mm.
And right before I closed the store, we used to put stuff on the sidewalk. That's what hardware stores do. You put grills on there and you put garbage cans and you put snow shovels, depending on the year, whatever you're doing. And, Tom George was his last name. Something George, Bill George, Frank George. Anyway, I got a notice from the borough saying that you can't put stuff outside anymore. And I said, guys, where am I going to put the friggin' grills? They're huge. It isn't like, I don't have, I mean, we're fighting for room in the store. And I said, you know what, if you don't want me to put stuff, give me a pass for this year and I won't do it next year. I said, nope, you can't put things outside. And I said, then I got to fight you. And we went to court. They said the only things that were allowed outside were vegetables, fruits, flowers, and newspapers. That was it. And I said, doesn't seem fair. And there was a guy, his name is Bill Mathesius. He's still around. He was the county executive, and he was a lawyer. And he basically charged me like $500 to represent me. That's chump change. I mean, attorney's fees.
Yeah.
So, and we couldn't go to court in Princeton, because I had appointed the judge when I was on borough council, so we had to go to West Windsor. So we made, Bill made this argument. He was prepared to go all the way to the New Jersey Supreme Court. He said, but he won on the first round. And it became a class action ruling, so everybody can put stuff outside now because of me.
Yeah.
And nobody said, I got like two thank yous, and nobody said, can we help with the fees that it cost you? But anyway, we were allowed to do it. And anyway, I found out about this course about 10 years later. He teaches a course on constitutional law. And we're in next to, you know where the Woodrow Wilson School is? If you're on Prospect, to the right of it, there's a building there. It's a classroom building.
Okay.
And it has a big amphitheater in it with holds 100 and change students. So Robbie George, got that down. He and I are in the bottom. And he said, we talk about different things. We have an interesting opportunity here, because usually we're talking about people you read about. We got the real thing here today.
Nice.
So I told my story just like I told here, and the students were asking me questions. It was pretty cool. I mean, I was a celebrity.
A celebrity.
Yeah, and I said, you know, who else gets to teach a course about you at Princeton University? Really? So
it's true.
That was kind of cool. Yeah.
Well, that definitely changed the face of the town. There's
and
a,
it did,
a
and
lot
it did,
of
yeah, and
tables outside.
Yeah, and nobody knows. You know, the store's been out of business since 2002, so a lot of people never heard it. Although they do say, boy, it would be nice to have a hardware store downtown. But yeah, right. Thank you, Home Depot. Anyway, and thank you, Borough Council, for making it. I mean, I served with those people, and they changed the law, and I was one of them, and they said, you can't do this now. I said, really?
They changed the law. How was...
They said I couldn't. That you couldn't. I couldn't put stuff outside. I served with those people, and they knew. The thing, I never got a sense that they were doing stuff to support the businesses downtown. There was a thing called a SID, which I was in favor of. I don't know if you know what that is. Special Improvement District.
Yeah.
And there's a tax that goes on it. Sorry, it's another tax you got to pay. But 100% of the tax comes back to you. It doesn't go to the borough government. It doesn't go to Department of Transportation. It doesn't go to the state of New Jersey. It comes back to here. So if you want to beautify the streets, if you want to have a day where you pay for the parking and it's free and all, and you've subsidized that so people can come in and thank all the people that shop our stores. There was a lot of people in the background who organized themselves, and they came up and they fought the SID, and it never got passed. Mm-hmm. So
when was that around?
Late 80s.
Late 80s, yeah. All right. Let's see. Well, we've covered a lot of the ground here. Are there any stories that you would like to share that I haven't asked you, but you're like, I really wish that people knew about?
No, keep feeding stuff. It's working great. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of some of those stuff that if you hadn't asked me.
All right. Well, then, things that have changed over in Princeton. Favorite restaurant that's not here anymore that you wish was still here?
I love the Grotto.
The Grotto. Oh.
There's an Italian restaurant across the street. I think there's a pizza place there now or something.
Is it where you went down?
No, that was the Annex. Annex was good too. The Annex was interesting because they were always busy on weekends with football games, and if you were a regular, you got a different menu.
Oh.
It was the same menu. It had different prices.
I see.
That's okay. I mean, they're you know, milking the cow where the cream was flowing, so why not? But PJ's was always good. There was a place across the street too. It was Harry's Luncheonette. Harry was a character. His name was Harry Vivarides.
Where was Harry's?
Sort of diagonally across the street from my store. Okay. There was it was right next to where the Grotto was.
Okay.
Which was also diagonally across. There was also Lutman's Luggage across the street. And then there was a Greek restaurant there, and there was a Greek restaurant next door to me. Harry, it was a true luncheonette. It was like these little formica tables with red benches and the little round stools at the counter. And Harry would sing. Every day is a bargain day at Harry's. You know, it's like, and he was a one man show. He cooked the food. He washed the dishes. He did it all. Sometimes he had help in the morning. He had a waitress that would come help with the tables and stuff. But it was cheap, decent food. Nobody ever got sick there. It wasn't any place you would take a date out to. But it was, he was a character. And there was a Princeton Tea Garden, which I liked. It was right across. There's an Indian restaurant there now.
Okay.
And there's, I like the sushi place that's right on the right before Heinz Plaza. I had a story with them. There were these two guys. They were always joking around. They were funny guys. I like to tell jokes if you couldn't tell. But anyway, he came into my store one day around 4 in the afternoon with a faucet, the whole faucet. And he said, I need your help. And I said, okay. He said, this broke. And he said, and I said, okay, well, we have to fix that. And he says, this is the faucet. There isn't a second one. This is the one we use when we're cutting things up. So I said, okay, I don't have it in stock, but I have a place that delivers every day between 9 and 10 in the morning. I'll order it for you right now. I'll have it tomorrow morning. He said, great. Didn't ask the price. He said, just get it. So I got it. It came in. I called them up, and I said, it's here. He said, great. And it came up, and I handed it to him. He said, he looked at me. I said, what? He said, I don't know what to do. And I said, oh, okay. So I got one of my guys, and he went in, and it was, you know, you just, it's connections. It wasn't soldering or anything. Put the faucet in there and hooked him up, and it was like, I gave him a break because he's a small business. It was like, the faucet cost me like $65. So between my guy, he's time to go in there, and I charged him $100. I said, that's really fair. And he said, thank you. And I said, okay. So I would go there for lunch, and I'd order like California rolls and spicy tuna. And he put it, and it was like, this big thing. And I went, okay, it's a lot of food. I'll take some of this home, I think. And I said, how much do you owe? He said, no money. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So I took some, at this time the store was closed after this. I went back later with some guys from work. I'm a financial advisor now. I work for a company called Northwestern Mutual. I've been there for 19 years. I do a good job. Anyway, so I took a friend with me, and we got the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he liked the food. And he went back again, and he came and told me, you know, he said, you know, that big thing, when I went there, it was, I didn't get all the stuff. So finally, I told him. His name is Andy. I said, I'm really glad that you're that I made you happy and I saved your day and everything like that. But you don't have to give me things for free forever. You know, if you want to give me a break, you want to give me a discount off of whatever it is or something, let's do that because I feel bad. I mean, this is how you feed your family, and once or twice was okay. I didn't go there every day, but if I went there once a week, so every week there would be no bill. He wouldn't take my money. And I said, please take the money. Please, please, please. So he started charging me. Okay. My friends all told me when they went with me, they got a lot more food.
That's Sakura Express? Is that the one? I'm trying to picture the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize it had been there that long.
They've been there a long time, yeah.
Since before Heinz Plaza got beautified. And
yeah, and they have a little complaint button on the front. Have you ever seen that? You hit it, it goes, back down.
Well, they have a nice spot near the library, which we were talking about before, has changed a lot over the years since.
Yeah, Jack Morrison and I have kids the same age, and our kids grew up together. I have no idea. It's probably somebody about my car's warranty. And so I knew Jack worked really hard to get where he got. I mean, he would be up. He went to the Fulton Fish Market with Nassau Street Seafood. That was his business. Mm-hmm. And he would be down there at 3 in the morning getting the fish and bringing it back up. And then he finally was able to buy the building he's in. And then he opened the Blue Point Grill. And then he opened up Witherspoon Grill. And he's got all these things. He deserves what he's worked very, very hard. He's a good guy, too. So he was a good friend. And that's all new. Jack was not. None of his places were on the Princeton scene when he started. Who else is new? The Momo brothers, what they've done. Raul and his two brothers now are in there with Teresa's and the one in Kingston and everything. It's good stuff. I mean, there's a lot more to choose from. I don't think there were really, other than Lahaire's, I don't remember there being a lot of restaurants, Nassau Inn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Forever. And I don't know, do you know how, I'm asking you a question now, do you know how big the hotel that's being built on Chambers is going to be?
No.
It's big. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be 4 or 5 floors, stories, and it's a long way back, so, and apparently it's a chain, this isn't their first venture.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. The I'm friends with local Greek, Tony Kanarakis. In fact, that's where we go back every year. That's where my wife and I had our first date. I met her there. She was your friend that I walked by, and I sort of told her what I looked like, and we spotted each other, and we had this little table, and we had this dinner for 3.5 hours.
And that was at Local Greek?
At Local Greek, yeah.
What year was that?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah, we're new. This isn't our first rodeo.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Local Greek is good.
And they have the place now in Hopewell, too. It's a fish restaurant, and I've been to their one in Lamberville, too. Procaccini with PJs, they're all opening restaurants. So what are you going to open next? There's like 7 PJs now. He's opened up some other ones that he's got. He's got Osteria Procaccini and in Pennington.
We're sort of a restaurant incubator here in Princeton, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I taught at the Princeton Adult School for a couple of times about home maintenance. You know, I did Hardware 101. And then I did that for a while. And then I tried a quick sorte with paying for college without going broke, to tell people how to navigate the FAFSA forms and what to do and how to make yourself more eligible for you know, free money or cheap money, at least. I don't know if anything's free, but that went pretty well. You know, helped some people and got some clients out of it. So it was a win-win for everybody.
Did your son enjoy Princeton U?
Pardon me?
Did your son enjoy going to Princeton?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. My daughter enjoyed going to Harvard, too, so not too bad. People said, you know, I said, how'd they get there? They said, well, they're slackers. They really didn't do well in school. They were very different than me. When I was in school, if I didn't understand something, like usually math was it, but I didn't do too well. I needed extra help, and I would go, and I'd ask, and they'd help me. And after the third thing of asking the same question and not getting it, I would say, okay, thank you. Mm. And I'd leave. I couldn't deal with it. My kids, on the other hand, they didn't open the book, close the book, and get hundreds. But they went for extra help. And they stayed there until they got it. I give them credit. And they're intelligent kids. My son speaks 7 languages fluently. He was a comparative literature major in college, so the two languages he took were Spanish and Russian. And he took 6 years of Russian because he spent 1 summer in St. Petersburg and 1 summer in Moscow with Princeton. Mm-hmm. So he took those courses, you know, so I can speak French decently, but when I get the person who's asking me about my, if I want to talk to them about my car insurance or warranty or something like that, you go, hey, привет, как дела? Очень хорошо. Я могу говорить по-русски, да? Нет? And they go, what? I don't speak Spanish. And I go, no, it's Spanish. Русский. So I can speak, I can sound good for about 30 seconds in 7 languages. Well, French I can do some. So I'm going to Paris in July, so that'll come in handy.
Do you take any of the classes at the university now? Audit any?
I never did, and I know you can, but I never did. Mm. I just was busy with what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing now because when I had the hardware store, I missed a lot of plays. I missed a lot of soccer games. I missed a lot of field hockey games. Mm. Now I have my schedule is my schedule. Today's Friday. It's a work day. You know what? I'm here talking to you because I didn't schedule anything in this time.
Right.
You know, I can, in fact, I have an appointment after you, but it's scheduled. I can do things. And things come up on the fly, too. Maybe that was somebody who wants to buy $1 million whole life insurance policy or wants to roll over their 401k or something. I never know, but we'll see. But that was interesting because I did have to go back to school to learn all this stuff.
Okay.
And I have all these little titles after my name that supposed to impress, but those titles do help you do stuff too. So you know you have to take the courses that help you understand what you do.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we're doing okay on time. We'll just end with favorite season in Princeton and why. Time of year.
Let me was going to tell you I like the winter, but that's from Vermont and that's skiing, so I'll leave that in Vermont. I like the spring and I like the fall. I love when everything starts, when the magnolias are blooming, and the guy who had the wisdom, now you see them everywhere, but when they planted the Bradford pears on Witherspoon Street, now they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere you see them, but they weren't like that before. And they've made the breed, if you will, hardier now, because they're not a strong tree in a big windstorm. They go down, but the newer ones, whatever they've merged them with, take a little more of the tough weather, but are going down to Prospect Gardens behind on Princeton's campus. It's constantly being upgraded or changed with the climate. Yep. You know, you have your daffodils and your tulips, and then your flowering trees and all the other things, and it's a pretty spot. And when I was on council, I was president of the town council too. So when Barbara was away, I was the mayor, right. And mayor performs weddings. I married 12 couples. Nice. And my first wedding was in Prospect Gardens. And I remember I called up, I didn't know what to do. And I called up a guy who was on council with me, who was the council president the year before me. His name was Dick Woodbridge. I don't know if you know Dick. So he's a good guy. And I said, Dick, can you help me? And this is before emails and everything like that. Yeah. I can't just say you're married. You've got to be like a dearly beloved. Did you read something? I said, yeah, I've got it. I said, I'll fax it over to you. I said, thank you. And I get down to the garden, and actually the wedding thing, if you find out, the paperwork is the marriage. The dearly beloved is fluff. It doesn't mean anything. And I made a mistake once on somebody. They went away on their honeymoon, and I signed the wrong line or something. And I said, you got to come back. You're not really married. But so they came back. I apologized. They signed it. I bought them a drink or something. We're calling even. But Dick gave it to me, and I'm filling out the paperwork, and it asks on the paperwork, you know, name, address, previous marriages, any more previous marriages. I'm filling the thing. How many times were you married? I'm going down this thing. I didn't say that, but this guy was married like five times. But my first wedding was in Prospect Gardens.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah.
You mentioned the store a lot, but what is the name of the store?
Erkin Supply Company.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That on the record.
Yeah. It was, people called it Erkin's, and actually the building inspector in town, who I liked, I had a good time with, his name is Red Glover. And Red, our sign, besides, like, we put stuff outside when nobody else could because we were grandfathered because we did it before it became an ordinance, but before they took it away and then put it back. The sign didn't conform. It was bigger. It went across the whole top. It said Erkin, big letters. And he said, can you tone it down? I said, maybe. Let me think about it. But I had Red was an interesting guy. I had a friend. Her name was Linda Rasick, and she had a store called Merrick's. It used to be across the street from the Catholic Church, and then that building got sold or something, and she went to somebody, some other place. And she came in my store. She was just about to open, and she's crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, this is one of the things about the town. You file an application for something, they have 30 days to act on it. Paper sits on your desk. It's all ready to go. It just needs a signature. But they have 30 days to do it. And some people there's words for them. Red was one of those guys. He had said, she's done everything. Every time there was an inspection, she was there, made sure everything was done correctly. Hired people, got inventory, and everything's there. She can't open because she doesn't have a CO. And I said, really? I said, you know who I am, right? I mean, I was on the council then. And she said, yeah. And I said, let me make a phone call. And I got Red on the phone. He said, hi. And I said, hi. I said, I need you to do me a favor. I said, I need you to go down and inspect Merrick's on 5 Moore Street, whatever the address was. And I said, you don't have to pass her. I'm not telling you to do that. If there's something wrong, absolutely don't do it. But She pays rent to a guy who pays taxes to the town. And it's a wonderful cycle here. And you're breaking the cycle by not letting her do it. She's been waiting for 2 weeks to get the CO. Can you go down to today? And he was there in an hour and gave her a CO. And she was, so I'm her hero.
Very nice.
Yeah, she has my picture on the wall. She threw his doors. No, she doesn't. But yeah, no, I feel good when I can help people like that. And it wasn't anything bad or wrong I did. That was just pushing something that should have been done anyway without me. I don't know why they have to wait 3 weeks if they're allowed to, if they can do it in one day.
Well, I think we've stumbled on your biggest frustration with the town, the occasional red tape or something. Not so bad. All right.
So we have 7 minutes.
No,
we're finished in time. Yay.
We can leave it there, and thank you so much
okay,
for doing
thank
this.
Thank you both. So I'll wait for your, you have my emails and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Do you want my card? I can give it to you.
Sure.
I had to get 100 of these made, but I had a guy that was the one to do some financial planning with me, and we're going over stuff and what my recommendations were and everything. And I said, "Do you understand all this?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Any other questions?" And the wife looks at the husband looks at the wife, says, "Yeah, it's a little bit off what we're here for, but." Before you closed your store, we bought a lock from you from our front door, and it's not working right. Could you take a look at it? And I said, okay, I'll look at locks. Somebody has a toilet. I'm not doing it. I'm not touching it.
Yeah, I draw the line. Nice.